I want to mention something that I feel. I mentioned this the other night. But for a lesson to all of us, when you get in trouble, humble yourself before God. God hears the cry of His people, or His prospective people. Brother Morris the other night, and I don't think he minds me mentioning this, but he touched us when he, with a broken spirit, submitted a request in the service here. It touched me. I dare say everyone here had compassion to go out when a man 57-year-old. Y'all know he looks older than I do. Well, a man almost a half a century old stands up here and puckers up and cries. It brings the compassion out of everybody present. But when it comes from the sincere to the heart, it also touches a compassionate God. And since then, it just looks like Brother Morris went to the top of the hill and started sliding down. The blessings of the Lord just smiled upon him. And he's a good God, isn't he? Crying to the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to mention from the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Book of Daniel, chapter 5, and 24. 5:24. Reading a couple of verses. Then was the part of a hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Now, most of you are aware that this is the handwriting on the wall, and Daniel was the man that could interpret the handwriting on the wall, because it was Daniel's father that was doing the writing. He was acquainted with his father's handwriting. Now, the king of Babylon, he did not understand it. His soothsayers did not understand it. Jean Dixon didn't understand it as she was living, or any other astrologer or fortune teller, because this was not their God's handwriting. This is Daniel's God's handwriting. But nevertheless, when the interpretation was given, the writing was written, Mina, Mina, Tiko, you first. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mina, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. This is not the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of a foreign power, right. Babylonian kingdom.
Right.
Nevertheless, just as God has spoken in the days of Belshazzar's grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, God ruleth in the kingdoms of men.
Right.
There is nothing going on in this world today but what God can step in and intervene and bring to a screeching halt at any moment He so desires.
Right.
Whether it be in Russia, China, America, Pine Bluff, Jefferson County, your own family, wherever it is, God can always intervene.
Right.
Now, you know the story here is that they were partying. They were having a jubilant time. They were not only leaving God out of their lives, they were ignoring the consecrated, the dedicated. Not only God's people, like the Hebrew children or Daniel, but also the golden and silver vessels that were consecrated to be used in divine service only, but these had been taken away during the captivity of Jerusalem, and these vessels had been brought down into a strange land. But you still cannot misuse God or God's people or God's program and get by with God. So the kingdom is it's numbered. Not only this, Tiko, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. And of course, the last one was the kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And just within hours after this, this absolutely come to pass. But the part that I want to call your attention to is it's weighing time. It's time to weigh in. How many of you ever picked cotton? You're a bunch of cotton pickers. You know what it is to have somebody say it's time to weigh up. And if you've been sleeping on the job and you don't have anything in the sack, you ain't going to get nothing but embarrassment when you go to the scales. I have known my uncle one time pick cotton at Blytheville in this cotton picking contest that they used to have. You remember the $1,000 they used to give to the biggest cotton picker? Well, he went up there and he beat. I think in an hour's time he picked 110 pounds. That's a lot of cotton in an hour's time. But when he went to the scales, he had too little cotton and too many leaves and bowls and trash. It's not always how much you pull down on the scale. Sometimes it's what's in the sack. There was different ways of judging that contest. How much they picked, how clean they got it off the roll, how much trash was in the sack, how many leaves they'd gathered with it, how many hulls were in the sack. And he was disqualified. He won, but he lost. I thought, what does God expect us to have in our lives if we're to hear Him say, well done? It's almost time to go to the scales. It shall come to pass that every individual, different to the time of Belshazzar, but it's coming to very soon that every individual will stand before God.
Right.
Now, some's going to hear Him say, well done.
Right.
But only those that have done well.
Right.
You might as well mark it down that the unrighteous is not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
These idolaters, abusers of themselves with mankind,
right,
effeminate, murderers, drunkards, all of these, many, many more. You can catalog all the sins that you can think of. These shall not inherit the kingdom of God, neither here nor in the life to come.
Hallelujah.
There are people that know very little about what we're preaching about and singing about. They could not understand the tears and the blessings that have flown in this service already here this morning. You know why? Because in your sins, in your unrighteousness, in your adultery, in your fornication, in your ungodliness, you just cannot see into the beauties of God's eternal kingdom that's already displayed in our midst, if you would have it. I run into people once in a while that's looking for Elijah to come and Enoch. And they're looking for them to come back and to be a witness. And they don't know, they don't understand what they're talking about. Even in the days of Jesus, they were talking about this. And he told them, if you would have it, Elijah has already come. When John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, this is... You're mistaking something, he said. And I know people are looking for a jubilant day. I hear Garner Ted Armstrong talking about a world tomorrow. He better be getting interested in God's world today. I read some time ago where one of his parties in Tokyo cost him $10,000 plus the fines, women, wine, and song. And then talking about God's kingdom on this earth. It's not that I want to brand anybody, but I'm telling you that God has a kingdom of purity. God has a kingdom of holiness. God has a kingdom of righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, folks, if you want to get in on this, you can get on it. You can get in on it. You see, it's almost time to go to the scales. It's almost time to show. I know my grandmother, my granddad, and my father's here this morning. His mother's here in the rest home, but she never could pick cotton, or never would, even when she was younger. And I used to go out and gather 400 pounds in a day. Even Pidge has gone out and gathered 300 pounds. And there's picking it and there's gathering it, you know. But we have totaled 700 pounds in a day. But when I was a little boy, 11 years old, I would pick 200 pounds a day. And my grandmother would stand and say, well, Jude, I don't...
Be my brother, man, Lord, I'll...
Just can't pick it. You can't stand him up talking about it. It just doesn't happen like that. Amen. You got to bow your back and get down with it. And I mean grab it. And there's no time to waste. And it's the same. There's a lot of people talking about heaven. They're talking about being born again. Every church in town, just about it, talks about being born again. They talk about heaven. They talk about who's going there. And you visit the funerals, nobody's lost. You read the obituary column, everybody's saved. Some of the biggest reprobates that I've ever known were listed in the paper as Pentecostals. Amen. And I had to preach the funeral, and them guys sitting there listening, are you going to put him in or put him out? I can't do either one.
Right.
It's your life. You're going to weigh up. Praise God. You're going to have to weigh in the field. You're going to have to face God. Let's praise God for His goodness. Hallelujah. Some time ago, a woman helped us financially as we built the Dewdrop Church. She would contribute $20, $30, $40 at a time. She was not a member of the church. She was just a good wisher. She was like the drunk that was standing out in front of the church. And he was standing there leaning against the telephone pole. And someone passed by and said, hey, fella. He said, yeah. He said, do you belong to that church? He said, no, sir, but I'm leaning that way. And there's a lot of folks that are leaning toward the church that are not in the church. This woman used to give money, which was appreciated. But that doesn't mean she was born again. That weighs, but it's not really what God expects. It's not really what God wants. Hallelujah. You could give all your money. In fact, you could even give your body to be burned. And this would not really register with God. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your attributes. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. God must have a people that will worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, everybody say praise the Lord. This woman gave much, but there came a time that she died in her sleep. Since she had helped us financially on the church at Dewdrop, she had joined the what's called the Mormon Church, Church of the Latter-day Saints, whatever they respectfully like to be called, and had been baptized into that group. And I'm not saying this with any slander at all. If anybody is trying to reach God in any walk of life, I appreciate their sincerity, whether they're right or wrong. Now, don't misunderstand me. I didn't say any old way will do. But there's a lot of folks not doing what they know to do. Now, some of you folks know exactly what to do, and you're still not doing it. If I was you, I'd never say anything about anybody's religion in this world until I do what I know to do myself. Now, this husband of the deceased woman came by and he said, I want you to preach my wife's funeral. And said she liked you and your wife. And I think maybe we still have a little flower that she gave us years ago. And I'm saying this with all due respect, but he said, now, since she attended your church, said she has joined the Mormon church and was baptized. And he said, now, I'm counting on you and the Mormons to get her into heaven. Sincere as he could be. Now, folks, when it's weighing up time, the Mormons and Rutledge can't get you into heaven.
Right.
And no other preacher or no other religion in this world. It depends on the life you've been living.
Right.
And the experience you have had. I've got the car before the horse. It depends on the experience that you have had and the life you have lived.
Right.
Hallelujah. A good life without the experience is not sufficient. You need the experience and then be a very religious people.
Right.
Somebody said, we don't need religion, we need salvation. We need salvation and then we need to be religious, more religious than most of us are. When I say religious, I mean go to church, I mean pray, I mean pay, I mean live, I mean testify, I mean seek God, I mean live right in the eyes of this world, that the world may look upon us and say, there is a Christian. Not necessarily, there's a good man or good woman, the world is full of that kind, but we need to reflect Christ into this world. More than human goodness. What's in your sack? It's weighing up time. What do you have? Let me read. I know it's time to go home and your beans may be burning. But you don't mean that now. All right. I was preaching over at Bishop Street a year or so ago, and there's a colored fellow there, and I done preached the tape off. And he said, come on, Elder Rutledge, come on, tell us some more. And I just preached, and I run out of breath. I stopped to give him a breath. He said, preach to us some more. And I said, well, you'd say that if I preached all night. He said, sure would. I never tried it. I don't think he would have. All right. But listen to this. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh, let's take a look in your pick sack this morning. I'm talking to cotton pickers, except Dick Price. He don't know anything about picking cotton. Let's look in the pick sack this morning. Let's see what you got in there. Let's look in your life is what I'm talking about. Just what is your life made of? A man's life consisteth more than the abundance of things that he possesses.
Right.
A man's life consisteth more than in the thrill that he gets out of this life. Some are living for pleasures. That's not much weight when you stand before God. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. If you go to the scales with this in your life, you're in bad shape before God.
Right.
Not all of this, any of this.
Right.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But here's the other side. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Now, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to prepare to go to heaven.
Right.
If you want to go and be saved, you must do something about it. Did you know something? Tonight may be too late. Tonight may be too late. It wouldn't be asking too much to sing that song again, would it? Singing. And I'm just going to sit down over here while they're singing. And if we have somebody in this building this morning that wants to make that start, and we've got some here that ought to, if you want to get ready for a weighing up day,
yeah.
I want you to come and kneel at this altar. I'm talking to people that's not... I know we've got candidates for the Holy Ghost that you'd come if I asked you to, and I know that. And if others come this morning, we want you too to join them around the altar. But right now, I'm reaching out for the sinner. See, there's one thing some of you young folks can't get in your mind. That before the Holy Ghost comes in, there is repentance. And once you have took the stand toward God in repentance, that don't mean that you're absolutely saved, but it means you have cast your lot with God, and as far as I'm concerned, there's no turning back from the time that you start in repentance to go all the way with God. If you come here repenting this morning, I don't mean if you didn't get the Holy Ghost that you might as well go out and do the things of the world. 1,000 times no. Stay in this seeking position before God until God does fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We'll ask the children to sing, and if there's anybody in this building, young and old, that'd like to make that first step and just give yourself to God this morning, we're going to ask you to come and kneel at this altar while the children are singing. After this, we'll dismiss those that have to go, but we'll stay here and pray with you that need God until you find God in the power of the Holy Ghost, if you're willing to go all the way with God. Praise God.
Amen.